Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
It's an honor to be here with you today. I brought my technology with me, and this is my Bible for old folks. I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but no kidding, the true story. Last night in prayer meeting at our church, I took my leather-bound Bible into prayer, and I'm thumbing through some things and sharing scriptures, and I came across a verse that had a little subscript, italicized letter, and I'm so used to my technology to push the, push those letters and the scriptures come up, and I'm talking to people and I'm pushing and nothing's happening. And so I thought, man, I'm just sticking with what I'm familiar with. Thank you for the privilege of coming and sharing, and I want to say thank you especially for the subject matter. Now that's subversive Christianity is something that's really kind of near and dear to my heart, because in a lot of ways I've lived my life that way, trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to guide steps, and being Johnny on the spot for God. That sounds a little bit heady, but I'm going to take us to Scripture this morning and hopefully impart some things along those lines, reminding us that God doesn't make mistakes. It's okay if you say amen, okay? God doesn't make mistakes. My topic or subject was the shepherds. And we're headed into the Christmas season, the Christmas story, and if you grew up in church, we've heard these stories since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. We know them inside and out, and so much so that a lot of times this time of year, we can neglect the story and get caught up in a whole lot of other things, even Christian things, that detract us from the reality of the Word of God. It's not by accident that we're gathered here on this day, the last chapel service of the semester, and I know you're anxious to get out of here for a couple weeks and revisit family and all the stuff that goes on during breaks, and we need to be reminded sometimes that in the midst of the mundane, that God is there, ready to move if we're ready to move with Him. Luke chapter 2, in verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now it says the same country. What country? Of course, the hills of Judea, Bethlehem. I'll remind you, Bethlehem was the place where the sheep were raised for temple sacrifice. This was the elite grazing area, if you will, for all of Judaism, because particularly around Passover, when examinations had to go on for the sheep to find the perfect one or ones to be sacrificed in the temple, and they had to go through certain rituals. We don't have time to get into all that, but I'm sure you've studied it. And I want to remind you that these shepherds, there in the field, even though they were the blue collar workers of the day, they realized that they had some religious significance in their blue collar job. They were above, but that, I'm sure that kind of permeated some of their thinking. And a lot of times, when we are students in a Bible college, we realize some of you already know very particularly what the call is on your life. You're convinced of that. You may not be aware of every detail that will come into play, but for me, I knew I was going to be a preacher from the time I was 12 years old. And there is no doubt in my mind. And so all of my life, various steps were taken, moving me toward that. And I'm sure that these shepherds, some of them were, well, okay, God, what's next? Most of them would have been young men, wondering what's next. Where were their careers going to go? How high up could they go in the field of animal husbandry? Just a lot of questions that go on in the mundane. And can you imagine just maybe sitting around a campfire at night, conversations that would go on, and asking each other about their day, what their plans are. When you develop friendships, we know that we get personal with one another. And these shepherds, I'm sure, were no different. Verse 9 says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. And all God's people said, well, duh." I love the well, duh moments in Scripture. They were completely scared to death, scared spitless. And these were the rough, tough cowboys of the day, if you will. They're out there in the fields watching the sheep. The sheep were probably bedded down for the night, and an angel shows up and gives them a message. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, think about this again. You're out there in the field, an angel shows up and gives you a message from the creator of the universe. Up until this time, your life has been generally uneventful. You had gone through traditional upbringing. If these were Jewish young men, they had gone through Torah studies. They had been bar mitzvahed at the age of 12 to 13. They had they were probably more educated in Old Testament theology than we would ever dream of being. But so that being just a part of their makeup and conversations, and this God whom they'd studied about all of a sudden sends a messenger to talk to them. Keep in mind, these are shepherds, and just over the hill, down the valley a little bit, is Jerusalem, the temple, and the elite of the elite. These were, the religious gurus of the day were connected, but disconnected, if that makes sense. And why? I would have been wondering, God, how come you didn't go over there and talk to them? Why would you start with shepherds? Why would you make such a subversive move in a time like this? And I want to pause here for just a moment and give you some parallels that are going on in our culture today that makes me believe that we are directly in line for another subversive move of the Spirit of God. Think of the culture of the day. There was political upheaval like most people had never experienced. Mary and Joseph, by law, had been mandated to go to Jerusalem to take part in a census. This was something that was looked down upon by virtually everyone in their society because they felt like their freedoms were being impinged on. Sound familiar? And we're hearing this stuff every day as you listen to the news, and you don't have to be a student of the news by any stretch. But I am absolutely convinced that the common people of Israel were feeling like man, God, you got to do something. You've got to do something. There's no hope for us if you don't move on our behalf. There happened to be, as we read on in this chapter, a couple of old geezers that were working in the temple. Now, the contrast shouldn't be lost on us. We've got young workers in the field. We've got old religious people that are in the temple. The young ones are coming out at this from a perspective that only can come with youth, exuberance, the excitement of just being able to come and worship God in their own way. And it's not lost on me that we come into a chapel service like this, and just by virtue of the fact that you're young folks, there's some excitement here, and that's exciting. That's cool. I appreciate that, because now I'm more in the category of the old geezers who, like Anna and Simeon, working in the temple all of their lives, waiting for the consolation of Israel, believing in their hearts that something was about to take place, looking around, realizing that the political climate had led to a void in the spiritual activity, and praying and saying, God, can it really be that you'll move on us again? Can we really have another visitation? It's also not by accident, I believe, that it was just a part of the climate that the ruler would send out a mandate, an edict, to kill all of the babies 2 years old and under. We are in a culture where child sacrifice seems to be a part of our everyday experience. And the church finds itself crying out, oh God, if you don't move, we're lost. And so the parallels where an angel shows up and these young shepherds in the field have an encounter with an angel, with God, that would change their lives to the degree that you and I would be here talking about it 2,000 years later. That's pretty dynamic. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Again, we're back in the field with the shepherds, and we're rejoicing with them, but the terror that had to be in their hearts, they had never experienced an angelic encounter before. And they were wondering, I mean, the panic, but yet knowing somehow that running away wouldn't do any good. And the angel told them, don't be afraid. And again, I find myself going, yeah, right. How do I not be afraid? I am in the presence of something bigger than I could ever imagine. And the message comes. Suddenly, there's choirs of angels that are joining with them. And they realize that in this moment, there is a message that has been delivered to them that and entrusted to them that will change their lives and the lives of successive generations for eternity. The one thing that I want to impress upon you today is I believe we are in that kind of a moment right here. It's not by accident that you would be students at Boise Bible College in such a time as this. I believe with every fiber of my being, because by virtue of the fact that I have spent almost 40 years in full-time ministry, that I have a track record of watching God move and seeing him move on behalf of his people, wondering, God, can you really come in and take this nation again by storm? Is it possible that we would have another great awakening? Is it possible that we who trace our roots back to the Cane Ridge Revival in 1801 would stand a chance of seeing that kind of an outpouring in our colleges and in our churches once again? I believe it with every fiber of my being. I am ready. And I believe that it comes through the mundane, not superstar preachers, not rock group worship teams, but individuals hungry for God, just doing what God has called them to do, getting together, and then there's a visitation. God moves, and they begin to talk one to another. Man, did you see how that angel shone? Did you hear the authority in the voice? What did that do in your heart? How did that change you? And they realized that by virtue of this encounter, there was something that they had to, there was no way possible that they could keep it silent. They had had an encounter with God that would change the world. The challenge for us, for me as an old-time pastor, and for you just getting started in ministry, is the same. I need an encounter with God. I want this same kind of Holy Ghost encounter that will change my life to where I absolutely cannot keep my mouth shut. I've got to tell somebody, and it's going to start with my friends. Realizing that, man, as we experienced it together, whether it be in a chapel service at Boise Bible College or in a prayer meeting somewhere, as the Spirit of God begins to move on us and we recognize God is up to something big. He's doing something in our culture. He's doing something in our lives, challenging us to get full enough of the Holy Ghost that we can't keep it silent. It becomes impossible to keep our mouth shut. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. Now get this. They went and saw, and they told what the angel said ahead of time. I want that to just permeate our heads for a moment. They went and saw what the angel said they would see, and then they went and told. I believe, according to Scripture, that God has dreams for his church. The prophet of old told us, behold, I know the plans I have for you, for your good, your success, and not your failure. And so, can you imagine Papa God thinking about the students at Boise Bible College, getting ready to go home for a break, but with a smile on his face? Those are my kids. I'm thinking about them. I have planned for their success. Their success in ministry, not to the way that we have conditioned ourselves to think in terms of success, numbers and money and all of that kind of stuff, but a success that is birthed in the heart of God himself. For your good. And understanding that only comes from an encounter with the Spirit of God. And so the challenge to you, to me today, is to get in a place, whether it be a field outside of Bethlehem, or a prayer meeting or a chapel service, but develop a heart that says, God, I just want you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who defines it. I don't want it to be like anything else, because God, you're big enough to have a relationship with me personally. And as God hears that heart's cry, it brings a smile to his face. He says, watch what I'll do. Watch what I'll do. In closing, I just want to share with you an illustration as to why I'm here, having spent now 5 years at Caldwell Christian Church. My background was very different. I've been in full-time ministry, as I said, all of my adult life, or virtually all of my adult life. Was raised in northern Idaho in the mining towns. I worked underground for the first 5 years out of high school. But immediately when I got out of high school, I went over to Northwest Bible College at that time in Kirkland, Washington, fully anticipating that I would walk on campus and start my ministry career right then and there. And I walked on the campus and Holy Spirit said, no, this is not my plan for you. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it for several years. But I went back home, and because my family was in the mines, I went underground for 5 years. In that training, I learned how to work side by side with men. I came out of that knowing, in fact, I was having a conversation with my dad one day. He said, you don't like this mining, do you? I said, I hate it. He said, well, why don't you quit? That was all I needed. I needed dad's blessing to move on. And so I immediately turned in gave my 2 weeks notice and went into restaurant management. And I spent a couple of years, well, actually it was about 4 years in restaurant management, but all the time working toward ministry and correspondence courses, all kinds of stuff. But it was about that time that the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, I've got a different plan. I want you to walk, follow me, follow me. And so even my education was not, quote, normal. I had to, by the time our third child was born, I was working three part-time jobs and studying full-time for ministry, knowing that God was working every step of the way. We pastored two churches in the southern Idaho area, one in Chalice where we built a new church. We were there about 8 years. And I pastored in Fruitland, Idaho for 12 years. And then we spent the next 13 years doing a television program on the Hebrew roots of Christianity. And did conference speaking, did ministerial training. At the end of that time, we were full-time RV traveling and my wife said to me, honey, I love you, but let's get back into a house. And the honey, I love you, but kind of thing she was saying, I'm tired of this party. Let's go back and settle in. And so we came back to Caldwell and the Lord spoke. I mean, it was literally like opening a phone book because we were praying, okay, Lord, where do we plug in? And he said specifically, I want you to plug in at Caldwell Christian Church. I didn't know what to do with that because that was out of my realm of experience. I won't go into all the details, but I'll just tell you this. It was different, to say the least. The pastor there, young man that some of you may have heard of, Rob Bellis, had been there about 5 years. Rob was a fairly young man, 41, 42 years old. And we had been there about a year and a half. Our purpose was just to go and be a support. That's all we wanted. And one Monday afternoon, Rob dropped dead of a heart attack. And his wife had called and said, Rob's in the hospital. Would you pray, please? And so I was pulling out of my driveway, and Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you'll be the next pastor of that church. I said, God, no. I really believe my time of pastoral ministry was over. I mean, I had just finished 10 years of television ministry, and we were doing all kinds of leadership training, which I loved. And so I kind of had an argument with Holy Spirit over that. I didn't even say anything to my wife until 4 months later. Carol and I were talking, and she said, yeah, I know. The Holy Spirit spoke the same thing to me that night. And so we prayed then and said, okay, God, you spoke to us. You can speak to the elders of the church too. We're not going to campaign. We're just going to let them know we're available if they feel like that's something that they want to pursue. That was 5 years ago, the 1st of October. And we knew we were in for somewhat of a rough ride ministerially. We knew that Caldwell Christian Church used to be the glory church in the Treasure Valley. Having poured literally hundreds of thousands of dollars into ministries like Boise Bible College and other churches around. Proud of that heritage. The church has been in existence 129 years. And that being said, the church had been struggling, to say the least. At one time, the men's ministry, I've seen pictures, men's ministry department in that church would overflow this sanctuary. And they were proud of that heritage, and rightly so. But the church didn't look anything like that 5 years ago. We knew that we were called there by the Spirit of God to subversively just begin to work and love people through the healing process of losing a pastor who had died almost literally in the pulpit. A hurting congregation that had gone through all kinds of leadership issues and troubles, trials, and to the point where there were a good number in the church who said, a couple of them to my face, if you don't make it, we know the doors will close. And it wasn't and isn't about Bill Sperry or anything like that. We knew that God had given us a 5-year plan to walk down, a road to rebuild, if you will. And I'm more than thrilled to stand here and tell you today that God is on the move at Caldwell Christian Church. In the last few weeks, we are seeing 10 to 20 new people every Sunday, seeing new families. This year we started a school, and just this last week, we brought on staff a licensed Christian counselor, and I'm excited to say the least. But I stand here before you today, one who has walked the path of a subversive type minister, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and then just doing it, doing what he says to do, praying and having seen some encounters along the way. But I want to encourage you today, God knows exactly where you're at, and he's excited for your future, excited for what is in store for you as a fellow minister. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you for being here today. Lord, you told us in your word, where two or three are gathered together, you are here in our midst. And Father, I pray that you would remind us that your presence here is every bit as real, albeit in a different dimension, but every bit as real as the encounter that the shepherds had that night outside of Bethlehem. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in the depths of our being. Speak to us in such a way that sets us on fire of the Holy Ghost, to the point where we cannot be silent. We have to tell those around us what we have seen and heard. You're an awesome God. I pray that you bless every student, every faculty member. Lord, I pray that hearts and minds would be clear in preparation for finals. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of studying to show ourselves approved unto you, because you are the ultimate teacher and guide and a great God. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.